welcome once again to Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcast Network. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. April 12th, 2012. Beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Wish you could have been here with us. You can be here with us tonight. We thank you for joining us. Get your notepads out. We're going to give you a few more scripture verses tonight. Hopefully it'll help you out in your walk with the Lord. Got a guest here with us. We'll have to see if you can guess who's with us tonight. He's been with us all week, visiting. So tune in, won't you? Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Once again, good evening. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's a beautiful day here. Still got some sunshine and blue skies. Some snow and rain threatening in the mountains, but oh, it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. We've had a very enjoyable day, a productive day working outside. Springtime, many things to do here because it is that time of the year. Of course, we're also getting ready for Branson. We've had many, many people register ahead of time. We thank you for that, for our Branson gathering. And that's fast approaching, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 2012. Boy, when you blink, it'll be here before you know it. Well, we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later tonight, too. So if you want to call in, if you have some comments. But we're going to start off with a word to our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we come to you. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, for a good broadcast tonight. We ask that you would be here with us, here in the studio and out on the airwaves and in the homes of your remnant, those that tune in. We pray that your presence would be felt there as well as here, and that your blessings would be on this broadcast. We come before you, Lord, humbly. Lord, we come before you in a simple manner, not wise and eloquent as those of the world, but we do come, Lord, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We come born again, born of the water and the Spirit, and we come giving praise to you and thanks to you and glory and honor to you, to whom it is due. We do give you thanks. We do ask for your presence to be here. Lord, I pray you would guide and direct our thoughts and our words, that you would let this broadcast edify your saints out there, that it would be a blessing to them as much as it is a blessing to us to have the opportunity to sit here and to do this. So guide our words and our thoughts. I pray that it would be a blessing to you as well as to your remnant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we do have a guest in the studio tonight. We'll see if we've got the microphones hooked up. And old Brent's been with us all week. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you for joining us in today or tonight. And we both have a page full of notes of things we wanted to talk about tonight, from water to time. I've got some notes on discipline I wanted to hopefully get to. We do wanted to start off tonight, I did, to remind you, the remnant out there, that if you were not able to partake of the Passover on April 2nd, just a couple of weeks ago, it was the 14th day of the new solar year, 2012. If for whatever reason you forgot, maybe you were traveling, maybe it snuck up on you, for whatever reason, if you were not able to partake of it, there is an opportunity to partake of the makeup Passover day. It's a backup provision. It's given in the Bible. I'll give you the scripture verses. The first verse is Numbers chapter 9, verse 10 and 13. And it says, well, we'll start here with 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if any one of you or of your generations becomes unclean because of a dead person or is on a distant journey, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And that second month will be May. And the 14th day will work out to be May 2nd, 2012. And so we do urge you, we do encourage you that if you weren't able to partake of the first Passover, that you are, we suggest that you pray about this. We do have some information at the website as well as here, if you're not familiar with exactly what the Passover is. And we'd be glad to send that to you. The second scripture verse that backs this up is 2 Chronicles, and it's really the entire chapter 30. And it is when the Passover was reinstituted. It starts out that Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so if you read through this, that too will give you an idea of what our forefathers did to celebrate the Passover and what they went through. And one scripture verse I would like to read in that chapter, and that's the end of verse 18. And it says, for Hezekiah prayed for them that and for the people, saying, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. And so you see, maybe we don't always know what the purification rules of the sanctuary are. That's knowledge that has been taken away from us over the past several thousand years. Because we do have an enemy out there that doesn't want us to remember what the Passover was and what it is still for. And so Hezekiah prayed then, and I believe that that prayer still applies today. And again, he says, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. And in verse 20 it says, so the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. And so there is healing that comes in participating in the Passover, in entering into the door day. There is healing that comes with that. And so we do encourage you, again, if you didn't partake of the first Passover, May 2nd, 2012 is the makeup day. And the early church kept the one-day Passover feast. The early church did. It was kept by the solar calendar. We've given you the dates. We encourage you to keep it. I think that's about all we can do there.
Yeah.
So if it's something we encourage you to pray about, and we do hope that you will enter in the door on that door day. Well, we do have a lot going on around the Radio Ranch. Boy, the mail, we got a ton of mail in this week, and working on the correspondence. You've heard John the Ramrod talk about on Saturday mornings and also on the Wednesday evening prayer meeting about trying to keep up with the correspondence, and we're sure doing our best to do that. And got letters from everywhere from New York to South Africa. Got a nice book in from a listener down in South Africa. And looking forward to reading that and seeing what's going on in what that book from that South African author has to say. And so we're encouraged about that. We do encourage you also, again, if you haven't signed up for the Branson Conference, it's going to be here before we know it. June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You can go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and you can read about the Branson Conference there. And we are needing registrations. We need to know how many people are planning on attending and who is planning on attending. And so there's a registration form there that that you can fill out. And we've also put it in our Volume 2 and Volume 3 Dragon Slayer newsletters. And we did mail Volume 3 Dragon Slayer newsletter out last week. It's entitled Warning Signs. It's a big newsletter. I'd call it a definitely a T-bone steak. Jason had a very good article in it, basically called Warning Signs and the Day of the Lord. And that's a couple of the things that I think we're going to be talking about tonight, that the Day of the Lord is coming. The signs are there. Whether you heed them or not, it's really up to you. It truly is. One other thing, and before we get into tonight's broadcast proper, I guess that I'll mention is we do have the new God Save America Again DVDs available. We used up all the ones we had, and before we just made copies, we did have another person come in and sing the song, someone that is a faithful Christian and continues to be. No, the man that sings it's not perfect, and but he is forgiven. And he is doing his best to lead a Christian life for him and his new wife and his new son. And so we do have the God Save America Again music and teaching DVDs. It's been a couple of years since we've had the original release, and so we advertise that on the inside cover of this Volume 3 Dragon Slayer newsletter. So we do encourage you to pick that up. You can read it also at our website, scriptureforamerica.org. And I don't know if you've had a chance, Brent. You've kind of been on vacation here visiting us while we've mailed this. So you probably haven't had a chance to see this article in here called Warning Signs. But Jason does an excellent job of presenting this, that, you know, there have been warning signs given before, and they are certainly being given again today. And, you know, the time is near. I had a couple verses that I wanted to share with you tonight that kind of spoke to me today. And one of them is in Malachi. And no, we're not going to talk about tithing in Malachi. But I would suggest you read Malachi chapter 3 regarding that. It's a promise and a law, just like the law of gravity. But in Malachi 4, and now this is the end of the Old Testament. This is the last bit written down, and for several hundred years, those that had any knowledge of this, this is what they had here at the end of the Old Testament. In Malachi 4, starting in verse 1, we read, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." Now, if that sounds kind of like Revelations to you, it should. Because here in the last book of the Old Testament, it is speaking of that day that Revelation speaks of, that day that's coming. So as our pastor would say, you can bet your boots and throw in your spurs that day is coming. Well, let's read on. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." And we've seen a little bit of that here at the ranch, haven't we? We've got one little calf on the ground. And that calf just goes literally about. It is this verse. It does just go skipping about. It's just excited and happy to be alive. And that's really how we should be. Those of us that fear his name. It's what the word says.
It's the key there. In verse 3, wicked, there is a wicked, right? And
yes.
Shows right there what's going to happen to the wicked.
And so that's for us. So what do we learn here from Malachi? One, that there's a day coming, and it is going to burn like a furnace. And the arrogant and the evildoer are going to be burned up. But those that fear him, his name, and that name is Jesus Christ. That is the name that is given us.
Yeah.
That for us, the Son of Righteousness will rise. That day is going to be a beautiful day for us.
Hallelujah.
Like the song says, there's a great day coming.
Yeah.
And this is the day it talks about. But in 3, as Brent said, you will tread down the wicked in that day. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts.
Unless people get worn out by the wicked that are out there, and they are there, but we have such tremendous hope, as you mentioned, in those two scriptures. And being we're in Malachi, just is going to go up into the 3rd chapter, verse 16. And while we're in this end time age here and these things going on, important that we talk with one another, whether, you know, sometimes maybe it's email, whatever it takes to connect with brethren in the Spirit and in Christ. And it says there are those who feared the Lord, as Richard said, those that, you know, we fear Him and love Him, He loves us, spoke to one another, and the Lord gave utterance and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him, before those who fear the Lord and esteem His name, pardon me.
Yes.
And then He says, they will be mine. Isn't that beautiful? Says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him.
Well, amen. And, you know, so we hope it's an encouragement to you out there when you hear these words. You know, that day is coming. You know, the time draws near. We see the wickedness. You know, I was going to talk about some current events tonight, but, you know, there's no good current events going on out there. It's just the same old thing.
Yeah.
You know, another ungodly presidential election. You know, there's more murders. There's more wickedness going on in the streets. There's no justice in the courts. And so, you know, I'm not one to really get into that type stuff and try to share it. What do you think about that? And
exactly.
What should we do here? No, this word is what we should do, what we should read, and what we should concentrate on, and what we should apply today. Brent, the very next verse, that, you know, it says in Malachi 3:18, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. And, you know, we hope that you're doing that in your life. You know, you've heard that wicked seed is out there. If you've heard Kyle the last couple of weeks, Kyle on his program, Saddle Up, I think has done a really good job of putting out that, you know, there are those out there, just like it says here, that are wicked and that do not serve God. They serve their own purpose. They whisper. They malign. They do things. They'll say that, oh, God told me, but they don't. And this time that we will be able to distinguish between the righteous and the unrighteous, that time is fast approaching. It truly is. And, you know, that time is here for some of us. It really is. If you flip over to Hosea, see if I can find that. I never can find Hosea. You'd think I'd be able to, but it's over here in the Old Testament somewhere, isn't it?
Yep.
There it is.
Looking at myself.
Right after Daniel. That's where it is. And in Hosea 10, it talks about a time. Remember, I used this Hosea 10, the first 1 and 2 in Sunday school just about 6 months ago. And, you know, it's not what I wanted to talk about right now, but it starts off, Israel is a luxuriant vine. Now, that's a New American Standard. I believe you have King James.
I got New American.
You have New American Standard.
Yeah.
Let me flip over on the King James real quick, because that it pays to see what these words mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now when you think luxuriant today, and when I used it in Sunday school class, because I used the New American Standard, I said, you know, that Israel is a luxuriant vine. I said, that makes me think of a Lexus, a fancy car, a Cadillac. You know, maybe that's a Cadillac out there. And that's what God is saying here. And of course He's using sarcasm.
Yeah.
You know, you go on and He produces fruit for Himself, says God. The more His fruit, the more altars He made.
Yeah.
The richer His land, the better He made the sacred pillars. Their heart is faithless. And then it says, now they must bear their guilt. And really, that's where we are today. You know, we've gone and done what we wanted to do. But God is not mocked. Let's see if I can find this in the King James, Hosea 10. Let's see. It says, Israel is an empty vine. Yeah. An empty vine. And that's really, that truly is, we have to realize that that's where we are when we're outside of Christ. But what I wanted to talk about with time is over in Hosea 10:12. And these are instructions that were given that I think apply to today. It says in the middle of this that it's time to seek the Lord. And it truly is. It truly is. Hosea 10:12. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. And that word kindness also can mean loyalty. So reap in accordance with loyalty, it could also say. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And that fallow ground that it talks about breaking up, that's your hard heart. That's the hard heart that we have when we are so caught up in sin that we have no care for our fellow man, that we don't care if our neighbor's house gets burned down, that we don't care if our neighbors or our friends or our elders at church or anybody are in need of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't care if there's sin in the land. You know, we just want to know who the new quarterback is on the team and if Budweiser's on sale down at the you know, grocery store.
Yeah.
That's what we care about.
Which is a sin when you look at it.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, what did Christ say were the two greatest commandments?
Yeah.
You know, he did, not that he did away with any of them, but love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And that covers them.
Yeah.
And it really does. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet his wife. You're not going to kill him.
No.
At least for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to murder him, I guess would be the more appropriate thing. You know, and it goes on and on. And so it says here, break up your fallow ground. Break up your hard heart would be the paraphrase I would use. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. And again, that word rain in the New American Standard means teach. Until he comes to teach righteousness on you. Well, I think he teaches righteousness when we read his word
mm-hmm.
and when we apply it.
With the Holy Spirit leading in us, and that's
absolutely.
That rain, the water again.
It is. And that's what we were wanting to talk about, water, a little bit tonight as well. We might get to that. I think we sure might. That's I like how it means here, until he comes to reign, to teach righteousness. You know, we do need to be seeking him. There's just no doubt about that.
Yeah, I had down here Matthew 6:33, as we say that, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness.
And, you know, that's one of my favorite verses. I try mm-hmm. to use that with, you know, I have grown sons and almost grown son. Because when I was their age, I did not seek first the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. And it was just by the grace of God that he forgave me for that
yeah.
and allowed me to come into his kingdom.
Yeah.
I look back now and think how much more... how many more children I might have, for one thing, you know, but how much more effective I could be in my life if I had, as a younger man, sought first the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and of course we want better for our children. We want our children to do better, as I'm sure you out there want your children to do better. And that is that verse, seek first the kingdom, you know, I think it finishes and all these things will be added to you.
All things will be added,
you
yep.
know. Don't be like those of the world that work towards mm-hmm. that fancy car or that new home or that bigger home
yeah.
or that beautiful wife or, you know, any of the worldly things.
Yeah. And that's a full trusting in him for everything and being sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and in our his will for our lives. And, you know, thinking about that before... You know, I don't have the scriptures handy, but, you know, he says to that our thoughts should be captive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring every thought in subjection to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's seeking the kingdom again. Our mind should be all on him. You know, our relationships, interests, thoughts, all through. Everything has to be kingdom first. And with the Passover just now, and, you know, we were saying springtime, you know, you clean up, change things, and what have you. Seeking first the kingdom, it means getting rid of some of the stuff that's blocking the kingdom thoughts, blocking the kingdom life. And, you know, maybe that is people, interests, whatever it is, because we need to seek the kingdom first.
It can be.
And all, and his righteousness.
And, you know, I'd recommend people or that if you, you've sure learned here from Pastor Peters to definitely pray on the full armor of God every day. To start your day with the Lord's Prayer. To pray on that full armor, on not only yourself, but if you're a man, on your wife and on your children, and to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important part of the full armor of God,
mm-hmm.
is to pray that God will help you take your thoughts captive.
Yeah.
I know I try to remember to pray that when I pray on the Lord's, the full armor.
Yeah.
And it works. You know, when we all have our battles every day, we read all through this, how, you know, we just read that, boy, you know, we have turned, we have sinned as a people. Well, we, even after we've repented and been baptized, sometimes that's when the strongest battles come.
Yeah.
And we need, you know I do here at the Radio Ranch and here at the ministry, I need that full armor daily.
Yeah.
And I have to take my thoughts captive.
Yeah.
And I've been out there, still as part of the ministry and the extended congregation, but, you know, years ago, just getting the tapes and things, and I know how hard it is out there as well.
Yeah.
And so that is a very important thing that we have to do. We encourage you to do it. And you know, one thing too, if you forget to do it in the morning, you know, it's about 7:33 here, Mountain Time on Thursday night. It's not too late tonight just to pray it on.
Yeah.
You know, if that comes to mind, then by all means do that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we need to.
Brent, I better give the phone number out. I said out there on our little website that we'd put the phone number out and have the phone lines open. Haven't done it yet, but we will. I know Brett and I could sit here and talk all night. We've sure had an enjoyable visit this week.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate him coming in and visiting and taking time to spend with us. It's been an encouragement to us. The phone number, if you want to call in, 307-745-5913, and we'll do our best to get you on the air and see what you have to say. I think you were fixing to go somewhere with that.
Yeah, well, you know, continuing on there, just, you know, we need full concentration on God, on Jesus Christ, and in everything, you know, like work, play, whatever it is, that he should be the forefront in that. And, you know, our society has a way of taking, you know, our concentration and trust off of him. You know, you look at things like insurance. Well, it's good to have insurance. I'm not saying it isn't, of course, but insurance, you know, doctors, you know, finances, gold, silver, you know, sure, if you can do these things, do them, but, you know, keep God's perspective in it and go to him first.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, if somebody wants to put away gold and silver, fine, but keep in mind that maybe you can help others with that in the future. Can't be for ourselves. If we're seeking the kingdom, it won't be about us,
right?
And, you know, for health, for economics, for everything, we should be seeking him first. And we have things here, as I mentioned, you know, insurance plans and all this. But these things have sort of, I think, got us as a society where we're not looking to him first, you know. And I'm not saying we don't do any of those, of course. We have to balance here. But the point is, though, to have our mind on him, you know, always. And it's a battle and a struggle that we need to do. You know, you mentioned about the Lord's Prayer. And it's funny, years ago, church I was in, you know, they pointed out some good things about paganism and that's got into the church and what have you. But one big thing was regarding the Lord's Prayer, that was just a model and it shouldn't be repeated. Because, you know, Catholic Church uses it and all this type of thing. And It's funny, you know, you get something like that in your head, right? So then when you hear somebody repeating the Lord's Prayer, well, that's not right. That's like the, it says, don't be repetitious and repeat prayers. Well, of course, we know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And, but I was just thinking about that because I found lately, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night, you know, sometimes you wake up and you're thinking about things and
can't sleep.
Can't sleep. And yet it's like, Father, I want to be closer to you, and I'm, you know, I got stuff on my mind, and I've just found, I've just been repeating the Lord's Prayer. And you know what, some nights, 4, 5, 6 times, I'll just open my eyes, oh, okay, and I'll just, like, Abba Father, it says, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like, I need you, you know, mm-hmm. and that longing in there, and you know, but that, we need that all the time, because the society is against us, but we're not powerless, right? We have Jesus Christ. There's no greater name. They hate it. We love it. We love that name, yeah. Jesus Christ. But, you know, the reality is, though, there is a battle to keep him in the forefront. But he gives the tools and the power to keep him there, and we need to fight to do that. Seek that kingdom first.
Amen. I sure learned that from Pastor Peters and from Jason both, that those times that you are awakened at, and then fill in the blank, whether mm-hmm. you've already gone to sleep and it's 11:30 or 2 a.m. or 3 or 4 or 5 a.m., whenever it is, and you just can't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And you're just, yeah, the thoughts come, and a lot of times, I know it is with me, and the thoughts that come are not always good thoughts, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's from one end of the spectrum to another. But when that happens, and I've heard Jason speak of it, and I've learned it from him and from the pastor, that is definitely a time of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a time that you can, if there's ever a time, that you can certainly draw nearer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in prayer.
And, you know, it's funny you say that. Sometimes the thoughts, it can be almost like a scary feeling. Mm-hmm. It's like God's, it's almost like he's saying, okay, guess what? I'm just going to give you a little taste of what it's like without me, and it's like, oh, what's going on? And oh, you want to draw closer to him, you know? Where are you, Father? You want to draw, so it's a good thing, you know. Yes. But I think he's doing that to draw us unto him. You know, it's a blessing to draw us to him.
It is, and that's what he does. You know, in Hebrews, the first chapter, he says, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And, you know, and he's speaking of Jesus here, but, you know, we know that when we can be in Christ, when we are in Christ, then we truly are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seated in the heavenlies with him in the spiritual realm. And, you know, what a blessing that is, and what a mm-hmm. comfort it is to us. And, you know, again, it's our hope that you have that comfort as well. You know, that you have that assurance. We're told here in Hebrews 3, 13, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today.
Yeah.
And you know, that's, you know, we certainly don't claim to be Bible scholars here, but like the pastor would say, what truth that he was given, he sure wanted to share it, and he sure did. He shared it with the remnant. And we try to continue with that. And we do. I've sure been encouraged here, just like it says here, with, like we've said, with Brent here visiting this week, and with working out here, being able to work outside a little bit. With Kyle was out with us today, and we just had an enjoyable day. We did. And we were able to encourage one another. And so, you know, we hope that this discussion tonight is doing that same thing with you. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. And it goes on and says, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And that's that hard heart we talked about mm-hmm. earlier, that ground that needs to be broken up.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not just all in the heart, but, you know, our heart will certainly deceive us.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks of that this word tells us that our you know, our heart does need to be softened up so that, one, we can see the sin in our lives.
Yeah.
And two, so we can repent. We can see that He, our Lord and Savior, paid the price so that we can be His disciples, so that we can turn.
And on the encouragement front on that, you know, Psalm 103 is one of my favorite psalm. It goes for me, I guess, back when I first believed and he picked me up off the ground. It's a special psalm, but I'm just going to go over to verse 11, you know, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, and we know they don't catch up to one another, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Mm-hmm. But verse 13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, you think as a father, your children, you don't give up on them. You love them. They do something wrong. You hug them. You forgive them.
And you want the very best for them.
You want the best.
And read the next verse. He himself knows our frame.
Yeah.
He knows what's best for us, and he knows our limitations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many times here we'll get letters from people that, oh, I just, you know, I'm not able to convince this person of the, you know, of the gospel, or I haven't been able to get this person to get baptized or whatever. I think this fits right in. He himself knows our frame.
Yeah.
He knows my limitations. And he does not put more on me than he knows that I can endure or that I can do.
Yeah.
And he does that with all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brent and I were talking before the program tonight that, you know, there's many times we might get frustrated. We want to share the gospel and we share it with people. Maybe it's somebody at work or somebody you see at the grocery store or the gas station or it may be a family member. And, you know, we put it out to them and we put it out to them, and sometimes it's years and years and years. And if it frustrates you, if you get frustrated with that, you know, sometimes you literally just have to give it over to God,
mm-hmm.
and turn it over to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think God wants us to be frustrated in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says here, he knows our frame. He knows what we're made of, what we can do, what we can't do. And if it seems like you're, you know, butting your head up against the wall, you know, not gaining any foothold, I think you mentioned earlier, maybe we're in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe God's trying to do something and we're preventing it. You know, we're causing that. So, you know, understand what it says here. He knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust.
Yep.
He knows. And, you know, one thing that is certainly humbling is, I think, and we've talked about it before, is that he doesn't need us to spread his gospel.
No.
He doesn't need us to convince that family member that we've been trying to for years that they need to get baptized.
No.
Whether it's Uncle Fred or Aunt Martha or, you know, the guy, our buddy that we went to school with 20 years ago.
Yeah.
However, he wants us still to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you do get frustrated out there, I mean, certainly there are some that, you know, and if we get to John 15, we'll talk about it. You know, there are some that are just of the world that don't hear his voice and mm-hmm. are not going to hear his voice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God understands who we are, what we can do, what we can't do. You know, not that we don't continue to strive to be better and to do better mm-hmm. and to do it all for him. But he understands. And so if you're hitting that wall, if you're not getting anywhere, you know, with trying to convince your friends, family, whatever it is, turn it over to God.
Yeah.
You know, the prayer of the righteous is a very strong and powerful thing.
Yeah.
And it activates the power of God.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's a case like that, like you say, that somebody wants dearly to see somebody, you know, born from above and baptized, or trials or tribulations where we get to the situation, well, why? When's this going to end? Or what's the answer? That can end up putting a wedge between us and God, because, as you said, he knows our frame. And if we look at him as a loving father, maybe if we are stressed out because of those type of things, or if it's a trial, mm-hmm. let's look, say, wait a minute, what would you do as a father? You would sit beside your child, hug them, and say, comfort them.
And protect them.
And protect them. So if we don't have the answer and we don't understand and we're trying to figure it out, and like you were saying, maybe we're getting in the way of that person's conversion, or if it's a trial and we just want an answer, why won't he do this? Why won't he end it? Why won't he answer this? Maybe it's sometime just say, wait a minute here. allow the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding, and that love of a loving Father putting his arm around you because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ who died for us, and to bring us into that relationship, because that's the only thing we have, is that relationship through the Holy Spirit. And yes, there's many mighty things we should do. There's, we can be going forward strong, but we need to realize the times when we are weak and we pull ourselves away from God, to understand the love of a loving, loving Father who gave his only begotten Son for us. And when we allow that peace in us, we're strengthened again to go forward.
Amen. Amen. I was hoping to get into John 15 to talk about, you know, that those that, you know, do claim to be disciples, you know, which is those that are followers of Christ. And, you know, not everybody claims to be a disciple. Not everybody that is a disciple of Christ, you know, will tell you that they are. But the nice thing about John 15 is that it talks about relationships and how the, you know, how the disciples are to be with each other. You know, in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You know, that's Christ telling us that, you know, he came, and that's the instructions that he gives us. You know, what other God out there, like it says in 15, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. What other God out there is there?
There's none.
That calls those that really are in, to be his slaves, to be his servants, friend.
And none, because those other gods are all of Satan, and he's a controller, and yes, he demands to be, yes, to control them, and there's no love in it. Sorry,
yes. Good. No, that is just right. I mean, not to compare him to other gods, but it is.
Yeah.
You know, he calls those that, and we've read it in the Old Testament, we read it here, for those that fear him, for those that revere him, for those that honor his name, his way. He calls us friend.
Yeah.
You know? Now, you know, for the remnant out there listening in, whether it's in California or Georgia or anywhere in between, if that's not an encouragement to you, I don't know what could be. To know that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great I Am, who was in the beginning in Genesis 1, who is in the beginning in John 1:1, who is and was and is yet to come, who is coming back on a white horse with a flaming sword, with fire in his eyes and his name written on his thigh, and that's not a tattoo, I don't believe. That doesn't mean you can have tattoos. But to have him call you friend?
Yeah. And I think we hold back his friendship sometimes by not looking at him, and again, going to 103, that love that he's there for us, because we're always wanting the whys and the answers and the in-betweens, but we can limit him being that friend that he says he is.
We can. And you know, it says here at the end of this, in verse 17, this I command you, that you love one another. Now understand that. That's a command. That's like the Big Ten. Okay? Now if you've listened to this ministry for any length of time, if you've heard any of the teachings of Pastor Peters, you should understand by now, that this doesn't mean that you love everyone.
No.
It says that you love one another. And so you have to have that biblical understanding there. It you know, now the K-Love crowd, the love, sloppy agape, yeah, nothing but love crowd, and false prophets will tell you, see right there, you're supposed to love everyone.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, we love the homosexual. We hate what they do, but we still love them. No, you hate the sin as David hated it, and if the people continue in sin, you hate them too. While they're in that sin. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, lest we be understood. That's exactly right.
Right. But you love one another. Yeah. One another of those in Christ would be the, if I had a Richard paraphrase in parentheses to put after that, because that's what the implication is. But you have to understand, there's a they, there's an us. There are one another's, and there are one another's that are not of us.
Yeah.
It's really as simple as that. But that's the disciples' relationship to each other.
And you know how the world will love us? You know how? By, if we compromise.
Yeah.
That's how the world is going to love us.
Well, that's what the next part of John talks about.
Yeah.
You know, Christ is saying. And, you know, that's how you get along with each other. Now, with the world, guess what? They hated him, they're going to hate you.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It truly is. And so, you know, just understand that. When, you know, when you're at odds with the world because you're being a Christian and walking the Christian life, don't get frustrated over that. Because John 15:18 says that. If the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's people out here in the world that I don't get along with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sure like to say that, you know, if you're a friend of Jesus Christ, you're a friend of me. I'm your friend. You know, we have that in common.
Yeah.
You know, but there are those that are out there in the world that certainly are not like that. And when you have this animosity towards them, understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right out of the world.
Yeah.
The word. It's right out of John 15.
Yeah.
It truly is. You know, it says in, the second half of 21, because they do not know the one who sent me. Now, we're just about running out of time, and I'll just say here, this applies to the Jews. This applies to those who deny Christ. And I say them specifically because they will say that they have G-D, they won't even say God, but they claim to be, or at least the false brethren claim that they are, God's chosen people. That they are the people of the Bible, the Israels, the Hebrews. They are not. Read John 15. They do not know the one, that's a capital O, the one, that's God the Father, who sent me. That's God the Son.
Yeah.
If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me. Now, who hates Jesus Christ? The world today.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hollywood hates them. The people that call themselves Jews hate them.
Yeah.
And they own Hollywood. They hate him, Jesus Christ. The Muslims.
Yeah.
They hate Jesus Christ. They sure hate his followers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many in the world, the freedom from religion people, they hate Jesus Christ. Okay? So there are many out there that hate him. And it says, he who hates me hates my Father also.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how insane is it that they say, well, you can pray to God, but not to Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, they truly are double-minded when they do that.
And people are telling them, pray for what they call Israel, pray for the Jews. How about believers pray for one another? That's what you should be praying for.
Right.
And edifying and building up one another. Amen. Not those that hate Christ and there's no Holy Spirit involved or anything. That's a waste.
Yep. Amen. Amen. It is.
And the only way we have access to any of that love, to do love one another and have that relationship with God through Christ, you know, we have to repeat always, and I think it's important, we were saying the other day, like, you know, salvation is what we are of and what is our line of life once we become part of the body in Christ. And Acts 2:38 and Mark 16:16, that's the way to enter into that love and receive the Holy Spirit and you have your sins washed away.
Amen.
In the waters of baptism. Must not forget.
No, that is how you do become a Christian. So, listener out there, if you're listening on shortwave, if you're listening on the internet, if you have not been baptized according to Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, those are instructions that are given to us in how we become a Christian. And so, I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. Read the Word. Read Acts chapter 2. You know, start about chapter 30 or verse 30 if you want. Read the whole chapter. It's not a real big chapter. You know, read Mark 16:16, the Great Commission,
mm-hmm.
what we're supposed to be doing. And then pray. you know, pray, Lord God, don't pray the sinner's prayer that you might have prayed out, you know, when you went forward in that Billy Graham concert or at that Baptist church. But you can pray, you know, God, is this what I need to do?
Yeah.
You can do that.
And that Passover door you spoke of, the only way to have entrance into that
is through Christ.
Through Christ, and you have to be born from above through baptism. You know, you have to be a baptized believer in Jesus Christ with your sins, remission of sins forgiven, receive the Holy Spirit. Then the Lord's Supper is for you. Then the Passover is for you. To the world, those are foolishness. To us, it's life. It's the door. Amen. There's no other way.
It is. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." And understand that. That's what this Bible is. It truly is. It is written, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New, every word of it is written for our instruction. And it goes on and says, so that through perseverance, that means getting up the next day and doing it again. Mm-hmm. Not sin, but perseverance. Persevering, continuing in the Word. If you're not reading your Bible enough, read it more. I'm doing my best to read my Bible more.
Mm-hmm.
And to read, you know, other words of encouragement that come from the Scriptures. Through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
Yeah.
And that is the only hope that there is these days. And that is through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures.
Yeah.
That is how you draw near to God. And that, you know, we always want Him to draw near to us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. We certainly want that. We have to draw near to Him for that to happen. I like the next page over. It says, and this is Paul, he says in 20, "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of Him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand." Now that's encouraging to me. Because there are those out there who have not heard of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But they're going to hear of Him. That you might be hearing of Him for the first time tonight. And maybe you haven't heard, but you will understand. The Word says it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will happen.
Yeah.
Well, Brent, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, the time flew.
Yeah, didn't it?
And I'm glad we didn't have any phone calls because I didn't want that interrupted tonight.
Mm.
I enjoyed that. I appreciate you sitting in with me. We sure appreciate you coming up and spending time with us and helping out around the ranch and here. And we thank all of you out there for tuning in, for joining us on this Thursday night program on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We are on the website or on the internet. Our website is scripturesforamerica.org. And our email here at the office is preacher@sfaw.org. Thanks again.